Today's program has been brought to you by Brooklyn Slate, a manufacturer of Slate cheese boards, coasters, and other fine items. For more information, visit www.brooklynslate.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Feeding the Future, Heritage Radio's program dedicated to the health and well-being of the next generation. I'm your host, Oriane Cosentino. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, our guest will be Christine Binder. Binder or Binder?
Binder.
Yes, like my first grade teacher. Christine Binder, Outreach Coordinator for the National Hunger Clearinghouse at Why Hunger, an organization dedicated to fighting hunger and poverty in the U.S. and around the world. Why Hunger was founded by Bill Ayers and musician Harry Chapin, and I think the best way to accurately describe their mission and the many services they provide is to read a letter directly from Bill. So here we go, a letter from Bill Ayers. Dear friends, in September 1973, musician Harry Chapin was a guest on my ABC Radio Network show On This Rock. On air, we shared our sadness and anger about the rampant hunger and poverty so prevalent around the world and in our own backyards. After the show, Harry invited me to his house for dinner, during which I suggested that we put together a concert to benefit the millions of people who were starving in Africa at that time. Harry's response, "I'm no George Harrison, but let's give it a try." We began organizing a large-scale concert with the United Nations, but it never got off the ground. What we learned was a very valuable lesson. Even if we had succeeded and raised $1 million with the concert, and then raised $1 million each night for a year, it still would have only been a drop in the bucket. We realized that, to truly affect change, we needed a lifelong commitment to ending hunger starting right here in the USA. We needed to support local solutions to this global problem. We needed to look at the root causes of hunger, and we needed to find a way to help people break out of the cycle of poverty. That, in a nutshell, is how we founded Why Hunger, formerly World Hunger Year, in 1975. Just as the organization was picking up speed, Harry died in a tragic auto accident in 1981. Most people thought Why Hunger would die with him, but his family, friends, fans, and the music community made sure that did not happen. Why Hunger has continued the tradition that we started by staying focused on several fundamental principles, working together to combat the root causes of hunger, poverty, and injustice, supporting grassroots solutions, and promoting self-reliance. Today we work with 8,400 community-based organizations that have innovative programs which go beyond giving people emergency food. These organizations help people to help themselves through food production, job training programs, nutrition education, community economic development, healthcare, youth programming, leadership development, and more. These are wonderful programs run by hardworking, caring people. Every day they create miracles in the lives of thousands of people all over the world. The problem is they are almost all underfunded and understaffed. Why Hunger helps these folks to build their capacity to sustain their programs and services through technical assistance and by connecting them with each other to share best practices. We also raise money for these organizations from performers, foundations, the government, businesses, and individual people with generous hearts as a part of our Artists Against Hunger and Poverty program, the Grassroots Action Network, and the National Hunger Clearinghouse programs. We provide them with vital information on hunger and poverty and create connections with the media and government, as well as national, state, and local organizations. Every day we respond to the emergency food needs of hungry Americans through our National Hunger Hotline. Each month we serve hundreds of our fellow citizens from all across America who are hungry, connecting individuals in need to emergency food in their own communities through our extensive network of community-based organizations. We also connect people to government feeding and poverty programs. We tell the story of hunger and poverty. Each Thanksgiving, we broadcast our Hungerthon on radio stations across the country, reaching millions of people with information along the ways to take action. Through our global movements program, we work with U.S. and international social movements and civil society organizations, linking Why Hunger's domestic work to global movements for food sovereignty and the basic rights to food, land, water, and sustainable livelihoods. Best regards, Bill Ayers. So this is the history and the mission as written by the co-founder and executive director of Why Hunger, Bill Ayers. And we're going to use that, this letter, and all of the many facets that he described as a bit of an outline for our discussion today. So we have somebody here from that organization. I'm really happy to introduce my guest, Christine Binder, Why Hunger's outreach coordinator for the National Hunger Clearinghouse. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I think we're going to just take a really quick break and come back with Christine and talk a little bit more about her specialties and what she focuses on and a little bit about Why Hunger in general. So please stay tuned to Heritage Radio Network. This is Feeding the Future, and I'm your host, Oriane Costantino.
You're listening to Feeling by Peels on the heritageradionetwork.org. Stay tuned for more Feeding the Future.
Brooklyn Slate Company is a collaborative effort from Brooklyn graphic designer Sean Tice and Parsons graduate student Christy Hedeka. After visiting Christy's family slate quarry in upstate New York in the spring of 2009, the two grabbed a few pieces for use as all-purpose boards back home in Brooklyn. They found a number of purposes for the slate and began gifting pieces to friends. The response was so overwhelmingly positive that the two struck out to produce a line of slate products. They now make regular trips to the family quarry in upstate New York to hand-pick their favorite pieces of black and red slate. Some of the slate is sourced from the quarry graveyard, a collection of odd-shaped pieces that were ultimately destined to be ground for use as road cover or baseball diamonds. They then transport the pieces to their studio in Red Hook, Brooklyn, where they do additional cutting and clean the stone to be food slate. Every single piece of packaging that comes with their products, from the envelope to the burlap bag, can be repurposed for other uses. The end result is a product completely unique in cut, shape, color, and overall presentation. For more information and to order, visit brooklynslate.com.
And we're back. Welcome to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Oriane Costantino, and we're here today speaking with Christine Binder, Why Hunger's Outreach Coordinator for the National Hunger Clearinghouse. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you.
We just had in our first segment, we just learned a little bit about the history and some of the many things that Why Hunger does in the communities in New York, in the United States, and around the world. But I know that you are focused on a couple of projects in particular, correct?
That's correct.
So let's start off with the one that's in your title, the National Hunger Clearinghouse. Can you describe the meaning of that phrase to us?
Sure. So the National Hunger Clearinghouse is one of the programs that we have at Why Hunger. And what we do at NHC, as we call the National Hunger Clearinghouse, is we collect, develop, and distribute information and resources that help build the capacity of emergency food providers. That's basically food banks, food pantries, soup kitchens, other organizations that distribute food to people. And we also address the immediate needs of struggling families and individuals through our National Hunger Hotline. We try to promote self-reliance, and we have a real focus on access to healthy food because we think that's something that everyone deserves, no matter how rich or how poor they are.
Yeah. And you're trying to help make the connection between the people in need and the pantries around the country.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. So we have one of the things that we do at the National Hunger Clearinghouse is we run the National Hunger Hotline. We've been doing that for a very long time. It actually started as a gleaning hotline in New York. But we started getting phone calls about people who were not looking to glean food from the fields, but who wanted access to food. And so, over time developed a really big database of food pantries, soup kitchens, and other organizations in the New York area. And then we went national because the need is everywhere. And so what we do is we get phone calls from people all over the country. They call our phone number, which is 866-3-HUNGRY. And we also take calls in Spanish. Spanish callers can call 877-8-HAMBRE. And basically, they get a live person on the other end of the line. I'm actually one of the hotline operators. And so people will call us and we'll listen to their situations and help provide them with recommendations for places to go for food in their area. Or if they're eligible for certain government nutrition programs, we'll try and point them in that direction as well. But in this day and age, it's really difficult to get an actual person on the phone. And so people are really happy when we're there and able to help them out.
Yeah, it's a unique service. And I feel like in that way, you can give unique help to each person's situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. During all of these many natural disasters that are happening across the nation, are you getting an influx of phone calls from some of those areas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely received a lot of calls after Hurricane Sandy from all over the place. Every state that was affected, we received calls from callers in that area. And we actually work pretty closely with USDA FNS. FEMA gives out our phone number. They get our phone number out there. People can call us, and we do the research, figure out what exactly is available to them. Like, for example, when Hurricane Sandy happened, we gave a call to our partners at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey and asked them, okay, what's going on? They told us where we could refer people to, that sort of thing. And we also knew that people were eligible for certain government benefits and told them how to go about getting that. So, in a given month, we receive hundreds of calls, but if it's during a disaster, it goes into the thousands. And so it's you never know when it's going to happen, but we're always prepared.
So prepared that you're listed in the phone book.
Yes, yes. We we get a lot of calls from people who find our phone number in the phone book. They just open it and they're looking for help. They don't know where to go. A lot of the times the SNAP offices, the food stamp offices are not listed in the phone book. Or, food pantries, it's hard to find that in the phone book. So they find our number, they give us a call and say, I don't know if this is the right phone number, but, can you help me with this? And I'm like, oh, this is totally the right phone number. And I'm so happy to help you. And then we give them the referrals that they need.
So it's also incredibly gratifying, I'm sure, for you to know that you're helping people in an instant sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it keeps me really grounded because I have an academic background in public health nutrition. And so I'll read studies and, engage with organizations that are working on these issues. But when you talk to a person who's in that particular situation, who's having trouble feeding themselves or their family, not only does it make you incredibly thankful for everything that you have, but it really connects you to the issue, not just on an intellectual level, but on kind of an emotional one as well. So yeah, it's really gratifying, sometimes challenging or stressful, but it's something that I love to do, and it's a really great job. I love it.
And I'm sure at the same time you're also collecting more data and also learning more things that you can apply to bettering.
Exactly. I think that's one of the great things about the hotline is our flexibility. Through our connections with emergency food providers, with these organizations that we refer people to, we can make really good referrals. If we know that this particular food bank has this particular program that helps kids or helps seniors or disabled people or has exceptionally nutritious food, we'll say, okay, go to this one, give them a call, they'll help you out. There's that level of flexibility in there. And not only do we give out referrals to people, but we also work with these grassroots emergency food providers who are providing people with the food. So for example, we have a monthly e-newsletter called The Clearinghouse Connection, where we give out information about funding opportunities, news, studies on hunger that recently came out. We tell stories about the people who call us on the hotline. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Every month it comes out middle of the month. And if you're interested in signing up, you don't have to be an emergency food provider. Just anyone who's interested in child nutrition or anti-hunger work, you can go to our website, which is whyhunger.org. And towards the bottom of the page, there's a little thing you can click on that says sign up for the newsletter. So that's one way to get in touch with us and to receive that. And then we also, we write a lot of guides, which are really excellent. We have one called Cooking Up Community, which is a nutrition education guide for emergency food providers. Basically, we go and we talk to EFPs, to food banks, soup kitchens, pantries, all sorts of community organizations that work with food, and we try to find the best practices out there, the programs that are working the best, that serve their populations really well, that are culturally appropriate. And we write little profiles of them and kind of organize it into a nice guide. So Cooking Up Community is about integrating nutrition education into your programs. So it's not just for emergency food providers. Anyone who's interested in nutrition education would probably find the guide really interesting. It's downloadable at whyhunger.org /cookingupcommunity. It's just a free PDF that you can get. And then we're actually working on a new guide right now called Beyond Bread. And I'm not sure if you can guess from the title, but it's about getting really healthy food, some of it locally sourced, sustainable things, fresh things into food pantries, food banks, into the emergency food system, because we just think that everyone out there deserves really healthy food.
What's the state of the kinds of things you find in there now?
In food pantries?
Yes.
It really differs. There is an incredible diversity of emergency food providers throughout this country. And so there are some that have, great nutrition policies where they don't distribute unhealthy things like soda or cookies or candy, and they replace all of that with fresh fruits and vegetables. Some of them have client choice pantries, which basically means it's kind of like a mini grocery store where people can go in and choose, what works best for them. If they don't like peas, they don't have to get peas. They can get green beans instead or something like that. And then on the other hand, there are some, other pantries out there that, are definitely struggling to keep food on their shelves. And, and sometimes it's things that are really processed or just kind of a mishmash of donations. One of the problems with our emergency food system is that the folks who frequent these places, a lot of the times they're getting everyone else's leftovers. And I don't think that's right. I think that if we're going to do something about hunger, we need to make sure that it's not just giving people food. It's giving them nutritious food and then also getting them on their way. So, so they feel empowered and they can make a change and it doesn't just become this cycle of poverty.
This is Christine Binder from Why Hunger. We're here on Feeding the Future. We're going to take a quick break. I'm your host, Oriane Casentino. Thank you for tuning in.
This one's called R&R by Peels on the heritageradionetwork.org. Keep it locked.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
And we're back. You're listening to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Oriane Casentino. Today we're speaking with Why Hunger's Outreach Coordinator for the National Hunger Clearinghouse, Christine Binder. Why Hunger is a leading organization in building the movement to end hunger and poverty by connecting people to nutritious food and by empowerment of the community. Kind of like not just giving them fish, but teaching them how to fish. That's kind of how the distillation of the many things you guys do, I feel. Mm-hmm. Another major component of Why Hunger's programming is the Summer Food Service Program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the Summer Food Service Program is actually a USDA program for kids. And, you know, when kids are out of school, they're not receiving school breakfast or school lunch. And so during the summer, a lot of families have a lot of financial hardship in trying to make sure that their kids are fed. I have a statistic here that says that low-income families spend an average of $300 more per month on food when the kids are out of school because they're not getting those meals. And so that's, you know, that's why this program is here, to make sure that kids have healthy food during the summer. And also somewhere to go and somewhere to be safe and engaged and well-nourished. So basically, organizations all over the country, it could be a school, it could be a place of worship, YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, Parks and Recreation, all these places are sponsoring these summer feeding sites where kids 18 and under can go and get a free meal. What's so great about the program is that if you go to an open summer feeding site, it means that the area has already been approved based on income levels and that sort of thing. And so kids can just walk in. As long as they're 18 or under, they go and they get a free meal. There's no paperwork required. You don't have to show proof of residency or income or anything like that. So it's meant to be a really accessible program. And of course, the meals served have to hit those USDA nutritional guidelines, same as for school lunch or school breakfast. So you know that they're getting a good meal out of this.
And I know that, especially in the city, mm-hmm. this is an extremely effective.
Yeah, this is a great program in cities. It's, you know, in New York City, there are hundreds of sites at schools. Parks and Rec is having them in parks and at the pools and that sort of thing. So, you know, in an urban area, it's quite accessible. It's a little bit, sometimes it can be a bit more difficult to get to these sites if you're in a rural area, but there are a lot of really great programs happening. I just read an article, I believe in the Washington Post, the other day about a school bus that has been retrofitted to serve these summer meals to kids. And so the driver hits multiple sites along a route and stops the bus, and they have the food in there, and the kids can go and sit down and you know, it's a retrofitted bus, sit down in there and eat their meals, and then, you know, they drive to the next stop and the same thing happens. So that's really effective in rural areas. But, you know, that takes a lot of elbow grease, a lot of funding, a lot of work to get that sort of thing out there. So, you know, having a lot of support for the program is really important.
And even though there are many sites and access to the food is simple, for it's still quite underutilized.
This is a relatively new program in comparison to the school lunch program, for example. So some people don't even know it exists, and so you know you have you know so many kids, 21 million kids who get free and reduced price school lunches during the year, and then you have, you know, about 3 million kids who are getting free summer meals. And so that's a big, you know, there's a big gap there between, you know, those kids who are not getting their summer meals. So yeah, that's kind of where we come in, actually. That's where Why Hunger comes in and the National Hunger Hotline comes in, because we're actually working with all of the state agencies across the country, often Department of Education or Health or Department of Agriculture for the state. And they give us their information on where all the sites, open sites in that state are listed. And we've put that into our database and use that to answer calls on the hotline. So we've had a massive influx of calls this summer from all over the country, every single state, D.C., Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, everything. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. All somebody has to do is either go on our website, which is whyhunger.org. /find food, and that's where the database is located, and you can search for summer meals in your area, or you can give us a call. National Hunger Hotline, it's 866-3-HUNGRY or 877-8-HAMBRE for Spanish speakers, and we're open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Standard Time, so we're answering calls live during those hours, or if you leave a message, we'll make sure we get back to you and tell you where the closest summer feeding sites are.
And I know that Why Hunger is also supporting lots of the grassroots organizations, not only in the U.S., around the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a major part of the model going on here, is that they're doing the work in the field, in their specific location, and then Why Hunger is providing support to mm-hmm. that, to those organizations. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we are a grassroots support organization, or capacity building organization, which means that we don't have our boots on the ground ourselves. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of organizations in this country and the world who are working on these anti-hunger issues. And so what we do is we try to build partnerships with them to learn from them. And then we serve as a clearinghouse of information. So we're not telling anyone what to do. You know, we're not the authority on this, or this. But we know who is. And so we try to connect organizations to each other so they can build a movement around food justice and food security and food sovereignty.
And they can find their strength in numbers.
Right, exactly.
And they refer to it as a peer-to-peer program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the programs that we have at Why Hunger are kind of peer-to-peer learning models. For example, we have a new one called Nourishing Connections, which connects emergency food providers to resources, and then we connect like-minded organizations together so they can work together to solve a lot of their problems. So, for example, if you have a group that's interested in learning about nutrition education, for example, and then you have another organization that's interested in learning about, you know, how to take care of their data, how to you know, do kind of like client data management, that sort of thing. Maybe one's really good at one, one's really good at the other, and they both want to learn. So we put them together, and you know, we provide that space for them so they can really learn from each other. It's really hard when you're working in emergency food, because there's this immediate need. You know, people they need food, but if you can kind of stop for a couple minutes and create that time to learn and to really enhance your program, it's I think a really rewarding experience. So that's called Nourishing Connections. We're kind of piloting it in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, right now. But if you tune into our website or you know, sign up for our newsletter, The Clearinghouse Connection, will definitely tell you more about it.
And that's all available at whyhunger.org.
Exactly, whyhunger.org.
Is there also information up there for potential volunteer opportunities for people that want to help out?
Yeah, so if you were interested in volunteering somewhere, let's say at a food pantry or for the summer meals program, you could go on our database, whyhunger.org/findfood. And you could search for a group on there. There should be some contact info. And so you could give them a call. Just reach out and say, I'm interested in volunteering. Or if you'd rather, you can always give us a call at the National Hunger Hotline, which is 866-3-HUNGRY. And we're happy to point you in the direction of organizations that may be able to work with you. And you know, it's definitely something you can get involved with. Another thing that you can get involved with, if you'd like, is outreach. For the National Hunger Hotline or the Summer Meals Program, it's really easy to do. We have downloadable PDF posters, PSAs that you can use on the radio, or web banners that you can put on your website, and that's all available at whyhunger.org/outreach. So it's really easy to get involved and to spread the word about, you know, the national the programs that we're promoting, the summer food service program, and for anyone who's looking for food, we're happy to help them out.
Yeah, by raising awareness, maybe you'll get the rest
yes.
of those kids
yes.
fed.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, that's about all the time we have today. A big thanks to our guest, Christine Binder from whyhunger.org. I'm Oriane Cosentino, and this is Feeding the Future. Check out our show page for a recap of this show and others, recipes, and lots of other programming on heritageradionetwork.org. You can also download podcasts from iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.